Hello, and welcome to First PacTrust Bancorp, Inc.'s investor conference call regarding its announcement of an agreement to acquire Beach Business Bank. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I'd now like to turn the conference over to Mr. James Sheehy, Executive Vice President and Secretary for First PacTrust Bancorp. Mr. Sheehy, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you all for joining us for today's investor conference call. With me on the call today is First PacTrust Bancorp's President and Chief Executive Officer, Gregory A. Mitchell. Also on this call and available to answer questions later on is Beach Business Bank President and CEO, Robert Franko. Today's conference call is being recorded for replay via phone, and a copy of the recording will be available later on the company's investor relations website. Before I turn it over to Greg, I want to remind everyone that, as always, elements of this presentation are forward-looking and are based on our best view of the world and our businesses as we see them today. Those elements can change as the world changes. Please interpret them in that light. The forward-looking statements in today's 8-K filing also apply to our comments today. That document is available on our firstpactrustbancorp.com investor relations website, as are other 8-Ks filed regarding investor presentation materials and other matters. A PDF file of the Beach Business Bank acquisition investor presentation slideshow for this conference call may be found on the company's investor relations website under the link entitled News and Market Data. Then click on either the Presentations or the Investor Conference Calls link. We'll have time for Q&A at the end of the presentation. And now I'll turn it over to our President and CEO, Greg Mitchell.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and thank you all for joining us early for a investor presentation between Pacific Trust Bank and Beach Business Bank. We are, as you might imagine, incredibly excited about the merger of our two companies. As we've shared with you in the past, First PacTrust desires to evolve into a full-service community bank, meeting the needs of small businesses, growing families, entrepreneurs, and other high-net-worth individuals throughout Southern California. Over the past several months, you've watched us raise some capital, begin to transform our balance sheet, acquire Gateway Business Bank, Gateway Business Bank, and now move into the next stage of our evolution into really commercial banking, small business lending, C&I lending. And from my perspective, Beach Business Bank is the best entree into that arena. I say that because we see this as a tremendous strategic, financial, and cultural fit between our two companies. One of the things you'll see, hopefully during this call today, is the great level of strategic fit and personal chemistry between the people, systems, and strategies of Beach Business Bank and First PacTrust Bancorp. Clearly expands our footprint further into Los Angeles County and Orange County, giving us a couple of great locations in the L.A. market, as well as in another location in Orange County. Builds upon some of the work that we've already completed in establishing a C&I network and bringing in low-cost deposits into PacTrust Bank. We find Beach Business Bank maintains an excellent composition of liabilities and great customer relationships. And notably, this transaction is immediately accretive to earnings for First PacTrust Bancorp, and is expected to show strong accretion in the quarters and years to follow. Rather than spend a whole lot of time on details, I'm going to try to skim through a number of the key elements from financial considerations and otherwise, and hopefully spend a fair amount of time addressing details in my particular comments. From a financial perspective, this transaction is valued at approximately $37.4 million, or $9.07 a share. It's a split, 45% cash, 55% stock. We are assuming that at closing our stock will be trading at a price greater than $13.50 a share. So we've set up a exchange ratio that provides a strong level of upside potential to the shareholders of Beach Business Bank while also giving them a fair amount of cash consideration. In the unlikely event that our stock continues to languish at current levels or falls below $13.50 a share, this will be a all-cash transaction, giving the shareholders of Beach the opportunity to participate in the upside of First PacTrust Bancorp through the issuance of warrants. And under that structure, if the transaction value is less than $13.50 a share, we'll give each shareholder of Beach one-third or 0.33 warrants at a strike price of $14 a share. So if you think about it, it's an opportunity for the transaction to be more accretive from a tangible book value perspective, even in a all-cash transaction. The other element that really intrigues us, and particularly me on this transaction, is the addition of talent. Bob Franco and his board of directors are among the most widely respected community bankers and board members in Southern California. In that regard, Bob is going to help out a bit at the holding company, stepping in as president of First PacTrust Bancorp. I will continue to be running the show here as CEO of the holding company, as well as president and CEO of the bank. Bob will continue to run Beach Business Bank in future periods, and we can talk more about the dynamics of that. We're also going to bring on three great new directors to the board of Pacific Trust Bank. These are folks that have successfully built and sold financial institutions on their own. They're very well respected in banking circles in Southern California, and I think will add a lot to our strategic goals of continuing to acquire other institutions throughout Southern California. We've also been extremely impressed with the quality of staff at Beach Business Bank and found people that really know business lending, are very good risk managers, very good customer service folks, and sort of get it as it relates to what it takes to be a successful community banker in this arena. Sort of an exciting perspective from a balance sheet consideration. Following completion of this transaction, late fourth quarter or early first quarter of 2012, our combined company will hold more than $1.3 billion in total assets and have a pretty diverse 18-branch network spanning essentially from the Mexican border to Los Angeles and east to Riverside County. So as you think about it, you can see that we're building a pretty impressive footprint in key markets throughout Southern California. Notably on the capital side, as a result of our June 2011 issuance of about 1.6 million shares at an average price of $15.25 after considering greenshoe issues and the purchase of shares from TCW and St. Cloud, yeah, we were able to raise a lot of capital, in fact, more than enough to support this transaction at a price that exceeded our current trading price. So that was a positive development. And obviously, with the addition of SBLF that we announced yesterday, the holding company on a consolidated basis will continue to hold more than or nearly 20% Tier 1 risk-based capital. So it allows us to complete this transaction, to finance it in a very affordable way, and maintain plenty of additional capital to support the growth needs of Beach Business Bank, First PacTrust Bancorp, and still keep enough capital in place to allow us to complete further strategic acquisitions. So you can see sort of good growth from a balance sheet perspective, qualitative growth from a balance sheet perspective, further strengthening of our capital position, the acquisition of great management, and the acquisition of a portfolio that is really, for all intents and purposes, free of significant asset quality problems. Now, one of the things we liked about the institution from a financial perspective is the portfolio was clean, very well reserved, but very favorable credit marks in the portfolio, and that contributes to the EPS accretion and the very low levels of tangible book value dilution that we expect as a result of this transaction. So, again, very, very excited about it. We're going to spend a lot of time going through questions as we get into the deck a little bit and respond to your particular items, but I am very excited about it. I believe Bob and the entire management team here at First PacTrust Bancorp and our bank and our board are excited about it. And before sort of jumping into the deck, I'll give Bob Franco a chance to step in and share some of his thoughts regarding this important announcement. Bob?
Sure. Thanks, Greg. You know, I can't imagine a better fit for our bank and our people. We put together an organization with a strong board and a strong management and working group here that's been accustomed to working in bigger banks, has done a lot of things that maybe have run under the radar, but have been something that we think is very special. We've been in the top 100 community banks in the United States in terms of C&I lending, same level of performance in terms of SBA lending. And so we're ready. We've been ready for a while to roll this out into a bigger platform, and putting it together with Greg and First PacTrust Bancorp is just an awesome opportunity for us. And Greg met with our folks yesterday by telephone. Most of you are probably familiar with how tentative these situations can be for employees. And to a person, people called me yesterday afterwards and said, wow, what a great opportunity. We've been through this before and had bad experiences. This sounds like a great experience. So I can't imagine a better situation for us, for our people, and that's why we were so interested in putting together a structure that allowed us to get some equity in First PacTrust and continue to grow this forward. So I'll be glad to answer any questions when it comes time for Q&A, but this is an awesome opportunity for everyone, I think.
Great job, Bob. Thank you very much. Rather than spend a lot of time sort of flipping through pages of the deck, what I'd like to do at this stage is open up the call to questions from our analysts, shareholders, and other friends of First PacTrust Bancorp and Beach Business Bank, and hopefully we'll be able to sort of cover all the materials as we respond to those questions. So, operator, would you like to open up the call?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question is from the line of Gary Tenner with D.A. Davidson.
Morning, everybody.
Hey, good morning, Gary.
Hey, just a couple questions, Greg. The Doctors Bank division of Beach Business Bank, can you talk about the scope of that, how the loans and deposits of that division relate to the overall loans and deposits of the franchise?
I can do that, but I think Bob can do a better job. Bob, you want to cover that one?
Yeah, sure. The Doctors Bank for us has been probably 80% a deposit gathering operation and 20% a lending operation. We have structured programs that allow doctors to do business with us. And ever since Check 21 came in with the check scanners, we've been able to do business with doctors literally all over the United States. As a result of our deposit program, we have gotten access to their lending side, but primarily we do it with limited lines of credit, maybe a $50,000 revolving line of credit, and most successful doctors typically only borrow that towards the end of the year when they're trying to do some tax planning. The more frequent lending relationships we have are when a doctor decides he wants to buy an office building, put in the TIs, and we do permanent financing with that. We've done it either conventionally, we've done some SBA 7A financing for that, particularly when there's construction involved, and we've done some SBA 504 lending. We think that there's some real opportunities to expand substantially that franchise in terms of our arrangement with First PacTrust. So there's some exciting possibilities. We need to work through a few of the mechanics, but we think there's an opportunity to expand it, not just in the California market, but we've been successful at rolling that out through other markets as well.
Thanks, Bob. And Gary, one of the things you might want to remember is that First PacTrust has essentially 4,300 branches throughout the United States as a result of our affiliation with the Credit Union Service Center. And we have the capacity to use that distribution network to support medical professions in really all 50 states through a point of distribution for making deposits, drawing down cashier's checks, money orders, having a local point of contact for that medical professional to transact their business. That said, our experience is a lot of that work's done with remote deposit capture and some other mechanisms require less interaction with a branch location.
Sure. And just in terms of the loans and deposits of each business bank, though, what percentage of total loans and deposits are represented by the Dotters Bank division?
Of deposits, I would say it's about 20%, and of loans, it's probably about 15%.
Okay. All right, so relatively small in terms of the total. Okay, and just one question on the buyback, Greg. Were there any shares purchased prior to this announcement, or will the whole million share authorization have to be on hold until after the deal closes?
Yeah, Gary, we had, as you might imagine, these discussions have been going on for a little while. So we've really been prohibited from buying any shares as a result of these discussions. So we had the authorization to complete purchases, but have bought none thus far. And under SEC guidelines, we will essentially be restricted from buying shares in the market because we could be accused of sort of manipulating the price in support of the stock, and that would be inappropriate.
Sure. Okay. All right. Thank you for the questions.
Thank you, Gary.
Your next question is from the line of Ed Timmons with Roth Capital.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're probably glad you're not back in Richmond.
Yeah, yeah. Hurricanes, earthquakes, not sure what's going on back there.
Yeah.
Just a couple quick questions. Greg, this one's probably for you here. With the with your capital levels, I think we were all somewhat surprised by the SBLF announcement. How much of the planned acquisition of the C&I and SBA platform went into that decision?
Really none. We did this deal. We did the SBLF based upon our own growth goals as it relates to small business lending and qualifying SBLF lending. And so we did not consider Beach's production levels in that decision. And we chose to take the SBLF for a couple reasons. One, we think long term we're going to benefit from larger capital levels from both an offensive perspective and a defensive perspective. And also, given our own growth plans and expectations from an organic perspective, we believe we will have our borrowing cost for the SBLF, our dividend cost, down to the 1% level in a relatively short order. So we saw that as an opportunity to create a pretty good slug of offensive and defensive capital, a very low-cost offensive and defensive capital that, again, can be used to support largely the bank, since 90% of the proceeds went to the bank, with about 10% of those retained at the holding company.
Okay. And then with the changing loan mix, both at acquisition but then going forward, have you gotten any kind of guidance, or what do you expect to see in terms of guidance on the overall reserve levels of the bank?
Well, we're continuing to follow FAS 5 and FAS 114 as it relates to ALLL methodology. I think given the increasing risk, meaning you're moving away from single family homes and into a more diversified portfolio, it's likely that the models will lead towards a higher level of reserves as a percent of loans.
Do you expect to build some of that up before closing?
No.
Oh, okay.
We can't do that.
Okay, and then lastly, just the assumption you mentioned cost savings and revenue synergies assumed. Can you go into a little more detail on that in terms of timing and maybe percentage?
Yeah, I think what we're expecting relatively low levels of cost savings in this transaction. Beach Business Bank will continue to be held as a wholly owned subsidiary of First PacTrust Bancorp. So we'll realize some sort of cost savings on sort of systems and controls and a handful of other items. More importantly, we think we'll drive a fair amount of revenue enhancements as a result of introducing Bob's Magic, from a sort of core deposit attraction and C&I SBA lending into the branches of Pacific Trust Bank. As you know, we're in markets that have pretty vibrant economic growth. We've not exploited that within the branches of our network. So one of the things Bob will be doing soon, along with his team, is working more with our branch managers and our lenders to broaden that product set and bring in what we expect to be greater volumes of sort of core community banking assets, and working with us to sort of further drive our production of DDA and core business accounts. So this is driven heavily, at least in 2012, on revenue enhancements and less by cost saves.
Okay. All right, guys, thanks.
Thank you all.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from the line of Kevin Reynolds with Wunderlich Securities.
Morning, Greg.
Good morning, Kevin.
Question, you sort of touched on these kinds of things in your prepared remarks, but two things I wanted to touch on here. What was the origin of this particular transaction? I know you've talked about a number of targets out there. How did this one come about? And second to that, what other opportunities are out there? It seems to me that with two acquisitions in the pipeline right now, that all of a sudden a lot of other potential targets out there might stand up and take notice if they hadn't already. And maybe one would think maybe the phone would start to ring a little bit more frequently on your end. And then another question after that, what are you guys seeing outside of this acquisition today in terms of just business activity, with given all the volatility that's been in the marketplace recently? How has that impacted your borrowers, the clients that your prospective borrowers?
Well, I'm not a politician, so I'm not very good at answering three-part questions, but I'll take a shot at that. Genesis, I'm going to come to last. Sort of current activities in the market as a result of turmoil. Let me cover first, and then you know, people calling us and sort of the prognosis for future deals I'll come to third. As it relates to general turmoil in the market, it's nothing that we did not expect when we put forth our plan, and quite frankly, in our judgment, it works to our benefit because with a scalable balance sheet with low levels of commercial real estate and really low baseline levels of non-interest income, we had nowhere to go but up. And our lenders are doing a great job grabbing share and generating a strong pipeline of both commercial real estate loans and single-family residential loans. So we like what we're seeing in the broader market, and it's very, very much consistent with our plan. So not too terribly concerned about the broader market. Obviously, Kevin, we're taking advantage of the curve to continue to rebalance our liability mix, and you've seen the benefit of that over the last several quarters. As it relates to how this impacts further M&A activities, as I think I referenced on the last call, we've had a considerable amount of reverse inquiry for M&A transactions in California. That continues, and quite frankly, and to your point, I think that will further build as a result of folks like Jim Gray and Bob Franco and Rob Evans and Fred Jensen getting involved in our organization. These are people that are all extremely well-respected in the banking circles. Beach Business Bank was a company that many folks considered a potential acquirer of other institutions. So I think as boards who have been a little lost on what they should do to benefit their shareholders, if they think about it and think about the fact that you know, Rob, Jim, Bob, Fred, and the other members of the board of Beach concluded that they'd be better off partnering with somebody who was sort of strong and well-capitalized, we think that may serve as a catalyst to cause them to become a little more serious in their pursuit of a solid strategic transaction. And sort of dovetailing with Gary's or Ed's questions earlier, by continuing to have the strong level of capital that we have in place puts us in a position where we can meet that opportunity at sort of the right time in the market. And that's why I talk about the benefit of SBLF and others giving us both offensive and defensive capital, because it protects us from risk in the market while at the same time giving us enough dry powder to be able to be opportunistic in the current market. And then as it relates to your first question, the genesis of the transaction has really been, you know, Bob shared, I think, in his remarks that he's been, you know, he'd been approached by several investment bankers talking about, you know, First Pac Trust being out there. We'd heard from many investment bankers about the Beach Business Bank transaction. One of our directors had a equity position in Beach, met with Bob, I think, at a investor conference, had some sort of general conversations. We had a lunch, I don't know, 6 or 7 months ago, and that sort of started the conversations between Beach and First Pac Trust Bancorp, and we're certainly very delighted that those conversations started and that we got to where we are today. So, is that responsive to the three parts of your question, Kevin?
Yeah, I think you did a good job answering all those, and congratulations on this announcement.
Thank you.
Your next question is from the line of Joe Steven with Steven Capital.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Great. Yourself?
First of all, congrats on the deal. My question is, on page 5, you guys talk about the transaction being immediately accretive to earnings per share and then accretive to tangible book in 2013. And, you know, we've sort of done some analysis. We agree with you, but you guys are very detail-oriented. Could you give us some of your... Put a little bit more meat on the bone of you know, obviously, you know, how you're getting to that, just so it can help all of us out. Thank you.
Yeah, Joe, I appreciate that question very much. As many of you who follow us on a regular basis know, we're sort of into the numbers and try to understand the impact of FAS 141 and some of the other accounting adjustments. And quite frankly, those accounting pronouncements have restricted M&A activity for an extended period of time. So what we do as part of our due diligence efforts is, in addition to a pretty detailed credit review, we also do a FAS 141 mark so we can understand the likely level of tangible book value dilution or accretion resulting from a transaction. Here at Beach Business Bank, because it is a strong portfolio from a credit perspective and a strong portfolio from a yield perspective, and because they have a great liability mix that is sort of less than 5% CDs, we had some interesting mark elements on the liability side of their balance sheet. So we're anticipating that the FAS 141 marks will be, you know, very low, meaning less than 4% in this transaction, which if you look at comparables in the United States market and the California markets, that is an extremely low level, and that has been vetted by a firm that typically provides due diligence and FAS 141 marks for accounting firms like Kroll Horvath, which is our firm. So when we look at deals, and I've shared this in sort of guidance with other investors and analysts, we typically want to be able to recover any tangible book value dilution in less than 3 years. You know, we think that with the earnings coming out of this transaction and with the limited level of cost savings and revenue enhancements, we actually get to tangible book value accretion really at the end of 2012. So it's a very short recovery period.
And then on the earnings accretion side, you know, I'm just doing some simple numbers. Can you give any more magnitude of what you see as far as earnings accretion if you sort of just go off of consensus estimates for you guys next year?
Well, part of what we've shown in on page 7 of the presentation, where we talk about mutually beneficial transaction, we think that the addition of a Gateway with the previous guidance we gave of $3 million in accretion plus this gives us a little more than $6 million in net income for 2012.
Okay. Well, that actually starts to make sense, because when you just do the, considering the asset quality of Beach You know, the fact that you got to take a mark truly shows you the ridiculousness of the accounting, but the fact of the matter is that's just going to help your earnings up front. So,
yeah, it does, because we'll accrete that discount
back
discount.
In, right. So, sort of idiotic, sort of ridiculous accounting, but that's what we have to live with. So, okay, guys, congrats. Sounds like a good deal.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Your next question is from the line of Joe Gladue with B. Riley.
How's Baltimore, Joe?
We're starting to dry out.
Are you?
Yeah, getting most of the utilities back.
Good.
Just wanted to follow up a little bit on the revenue enhancement issue. In order to fully utilize the platform you're getting with Beach Business Bank throughout your branch network, just wondering, you know, do you need to make some additional hires that can to be able to fully utilize that, you know, in other parts of your branch network, or you know, is you think you can pretty much get that enhancement with what the personnel you'll get from with Beach?
No, we intend to hire additional people. I think some of the guidance that I've provided in prior periods, sort of independent of the Beach acquisition, is we had intended to recruit a strong channel manager for business banking, what we call the business banking manager, and four BDOs. Business development officers to work within our retail branch network. I think that the business banking manager position will probably be subsumed within the resources at Beach as somebody to sort of manage that channel. But we will hire BDOs to work with our branch managers and work within our primary markets to further drive small business lending. The benefit of the Beach acquisition is it gives us immediately systems, products, brand, and some additional things that will help us get traction faster. And the fact that Beach Business Bank is a long-standing SBA preferred lender, as is Gateway Business Bank, the other bank that we've acquired, we think that will help us with traction in the SBA arena. And also importantly, the Beach Business Bank is in the top 100 of all community banks in the United States as it relates to volume of C&I lending. So if you think about taking, you know, a great team that's got an established platform, very well regarded by the regulators, and leveraging that team in the San Diego, principally the San Diego markets where there is a lot of commerce, you know, we should get some good benefits and get those faster than we might have otherwise realized if we did it without the benefits of Beach.
Okay.
Is that a response to your question, Joe?
Yeah, but I guess just one quick follow-up. Do you think you'll have some of those BDOs in place by the time the acquisition closes or beforehand?
I don't know that yet. I think one of the things that Bob and I will be working on in the coming weeks is really a staffing plan and a strategic plan for laying that out. I think that by the time we have our investor conference that I've referenced to you,
yep,
it'll be in later in September, we'll have some answers to that question.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Your next question is from the line of Brett Villame with Fig Partners.
Morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning, Brett.
Largely all of my questions have been answered. I guess I just want to play clean up and ask you a couple of quick details. On the TARP repayment, is that including the warrant that was outstanding?
Yeah, Brett, as you know, PacTrust repaid its TARP early this year. Because Beach was not widely traded, not a public company, more private, it does not have a warrant. It had a sort of added coupon that it was essentially required to pay on the TARP. So when that is paid off, it'll be no additional outflows for warrants.
Okay. Thanks. And then on the one-time deal-related expenses, $2.5 million, is there a specific timing of that? Can we anticipate that being all in one quarter or over several quarters?
Yeah, I think that'll be over several quarters. Clearly, we'll have some of that at the closing of the transaction as we pay for the sort of investment bankers, accountants, lawyers, and some of that. So you should expect to see an outflow of a portion of that in the fourth quarter, early first quarter of 2012. And then we'll realize some of those additional expenses through the balance of the year as we deal with sort of system conversions and related issues, compensation to staff, handful of other items.
Thanks. And then I was curious about you received regulatory approval for the opening of your Santa Monica and Century City branches.
Yes.
Do you have any further timing clarity to share with us about those, getting them operational?
I have people on this line who have been asked that same question. We're going to open Santa Monica, we think, in December of this year. Those of you who are familiar with the Santa Monica market know that it's a little bureaucratic and political, so the building process has taken a little longer than expected. I think our Century City office should open in October, and we've got a great new manager hired for that location, so he's already out driving deposit growth.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brett.
Your next question is from the line of Dan Nicholas with Robert W. Baird.
Hey, good morning, Dad.
Hey, Greg, how are you doing?
Good. I understand the basement stayed dry.
It did. We're still struggling without power, but we're hoping someday soon.
That's good.
Most of my questions have been answered. Just a follow-up on discussing kind of the revenue synergies and the projection for $6 million of earnings accretion from this transaction and Gateway. I'm wondering what type of fee income or non-interest income assumptions you have baked into that for each business specifically.
I don't have that off the top of my head. A lot of it comes from DDA growth and loan growth coming out of the PAC Trust platform that was greater than what we had already budgeted on our own for 2012. So most of it is NIM as opposed to non-interest income. So in your models, I wouldn't assume a whole lot of additional NII, at least in the short term, coming out of the transaction. There will be more later as we start to get more sort of analysis fees and other products. We think that there will be some additional NII going into Beach's platform as we introduce some of our alternative investment programs and other products from our retail network at PAC Trust into Beach, because they're in markets with, like many of PAC Trust markets, with high net worth folks. So we'll introduce some products that I think will further benefit them from an NII perspective. We expect in 2012 and beyond for PAC Trust's NII to be widened sharply as a result of gain on sale coming from Mission Hills Mortgage Bankers, the division that we'll acquire in connection with the Gateway Business Bank acquisition. Is that response to your question?
Yeah, that's helpful. And then just along those lines, looking at Beach Business's income statement, the loan sale gains that they have, are those mortgage or are those SBA?
That's SBA.
Okay, that's what I assumed. And just one last question: did I understand correctly, talking about future share repurchases, that any repurchase activity would have to wait until, I guess, after the transaction closes?
Well, I think it's restricted. I don't want to use the word any. There's some restrictions, so we have to be incredibly mindful of how we acquire shares of ourselves or potentially acquire shares of of Beach Business Bank during the pendency of this transaction. So there's some very clear SEC rules that we have to sort of track. So I don't want to say, you know, plan for no share repurchases, because there could be exceptions and could be opportunities for things to happen there.
Yep. Okay. Got it. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Your next question is from the line of Alan Bortel with Inverness Management.
Hey, good morning, Alan. How you doing?
Hi, Greg. We haven't talked in a long time.
Bill Braun sends his regards.
Who?
Bill Braun, your son's investor.
Oh, yes. Okay. Greg, you're going to force me to be your shareholder.
Good.
I've just been lazy for a long time been a shareholder in Beach for, well, since they started up. Quick question, though. I didn't see where it says what the expiration of the warrants would be, assuming we get warrants.
Yeah, it's a one-year expiration.
Oh, it's just a year. Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay. All right, thanks. That's all I had.
Good to hear your voice, Al. It's been a long, long time.
Yeah, well, I've been retired a long time.
Two days.
Did it early. Thanks.
Thank you.
Your next question is a follow-up from the line of Gary Tenner with D.A. Davidson.
Thanks for taking the follow-up question. Question just on deposit pricing. Obviously, Beach Business Bank has quite a nice margin in the 4.5% range. But even given the difference in their overall deposit mix, their deposit costs are quite a bit higher than at PacTrust. How do you kind of view that migrating over time? And does keeping Beach Business Bank as a separate charter enable you to maybe not move the deposit pricing down to match the PacTrust pricing, immediately?
Well, I can answer that, but I thought I might let Bob. Bob, you want to take a shot at the sort of deposit pricing?
Sure. Part of our we've always carried higher deposit pricing in the local market because we've always had extraordinary loan demand, and we've used it as a mechanism to allow us to maintain a high loan-to-deposit ratio. In the last first 6 months of this year, although that is changing now, loan demand has been lower, and we've been reducing deposit costs relatively rapidly. So we have a lot of flexibility in that, and even in the face of reducing our deposit costs, our deposit base has continued to grow. So we think there's a lot of flexibility there. It was very useful for us when we were an independent company, and we had loans and needed the liquidity for loan demand, and also in terms of our regulatory environment to be able to demonstrate high levels of Fed funds and liquidity, to carry higher liquidity levels in a situation like this where we're not out there just on our own. I think we have a lot of flexibility in deposit costs, and we've already started to realize some of that. Probably would expect to realize more of that over time.
Yeah, if you think about it, and I think that was well done, Bob. But if you think about it, you know, we're a sort of net deposit originator at this stage. Have a lot of liquidity and available liquidity, and sources even more from the Federal Home Loan Bank, FRB, and others. So to the extent that Beach can rely on PacTrust and Pacific Trust Bank as a source of lower cost deposits, that gives them the ability to drive down rates without worrying about liquidity, and we expect to see that as well in the Gateway Business Bank acquisition, who has already started to realize deposit cost benefits as a result of the pending combination there.
Okay, great. That's very helpful. And then if I could, just one last question. Separate from this transaction, but regarding the SBLF, can you tell us what the baseline loan number is heading into the SBLF program?
Yeah, baseline is $36 million. So for those of you that follow the program, in order to qualify for 1%, we need to not just generate $3.6 million, which is the 10% growth, but once we deploy $32 million in qualifying loans, our rate on the entire $32 million will go to 1% and sustain that rate for the next 4.5 years.
Okay, so it's not simply the 10% off that baseline, but you have to put all $32 million to work.
The way it works is that you get the 1% rate, assuming you've grown 10% over the base level of $36 million. However, you get it on a dollar-for-dollar basis against the SBLF that you pulled down. So if a bank pulled down $50 million of SBLF before they got a 1% rate on the total portfolio, they'd have to generate $50 million in loans. If over on a sequential basis they generated, say, $12.5 million a quarter in qualifying loans, they'd get 1% on the first $12.5 million and then 5% of the balance. And then as the quarters went on, the rate would decline from, say a blended rate of 4% or 3.5, I'm sort of interpolating numbers here, all the way down to 1% as they filled the bucket. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. It's very helpful. Thank you.
Other questions?
Your next question is from the line of Nathan Race with Stern AG.
Hey, guys. I apologize that we couldn't get on the line earlier with Brett, but I just want to touch quickly on the credit outlook for the second half of the year. I noticed that Beach has NPAs around 3.3% and First Pack has around 7.3%. I was just wondering if you could touch on the credit outlook going forward for this year for both.
Well, I think I'm not sure where you're getting the numbers for Pack Trust at 7.3% NPAs.
NPAs to REO.
Pardon?
NPAs to loans and OREO. Excuse me.
Yeah, I don't. That may include all of our TDRs and something. Is that out of an SNL report?
No, it's. I think it's a report that we've. I believe it includes TDRs as well.
Okay. Yeah. Our what we've guided towards in prior quarters, we had some good reductions in NPAs in the second quarter, and what we've guided to in our last call. Is we anticipate that NPAs plus OREO as a percentage of capital, percentage of total assets, will decline to sub 3% by the end of the year, excluding TDRs. Unfortunately, TDRs have to stay in the non-performing asset bucket largely until they're resolved. But if you look at what's sort of non-performing, meaning we're not receiving interest income on either a cash basis or an accrual basis, we expect that to be sort of sub 3% as we continue to make very good progress in winding down OREO balances and NPA balances. We've also guided, Nathan, that we expect a continuation of the sharp declines that we've seen in 30, 60, and 90-day delinquencies. And Beach's portfolio, I think, is pretty darn clean. They continue to work through their remaining NPAs in due course.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And there are no further questions at this time.
Other questions?
There are no further questions at this time.
Well, let me once again thank you all for joining us for an early morning call today. We think, again, this is a very exciting transaction for the shareholders of First Pactress Bank Corp and the shareholders of Beach Business Bank, as well as the employees of both organizations. We think this is going to create great opportunities for personal growth for people within the organizations. It's going to do some great things for the customers of the communities we serve, and our experience is all of those ingredients lead to outsized returns for shareholders and the creation of real value in the markets. So strategically and financially important, great social and management dynamics, and really advances us quickly into the C&I space. So I'm expecting and believe we will realize great things from this merger, and I'm personally appreciative of the effort that our management, our board, all the advisors and others have put into this, and very, very appreciative of the way the team at Beach Business Bank has already embraced this, and we look forward to a great partnership and really a great marriage for many years to come. So thank you all. I hope you guys share our excitement with this transaction. If you have any further questions, as always, feel free to give me a call, drop me an email note. I think myself or Bob Franco or others would be happy to respond. And as you think more about it, dig into the numbers, we believe that that you'll share our excitement. So thank you all again, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you all for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.